Coach Dina helping me out in the chat today. Hey, Coach Dina, if you want to raise your hand, I will pull you up just in case something happens. She has raised her hand and I've got the chat going. Make sure if y'all are talking in the chat, make sure that you have your chat set to everyone and not just hosts and panelists. That way we can all see what you're talking about. Connecticut weather is also wonky, says Miss Jean, having the same issues in Michigan. Yes, see, y'all are all having the same weather. Hey, Trish. Hey, Francis. Thank y'all so much for being here today on Saturday. I hope y'all have some fun things planned for the rest of the day. Cecilia says, know what you mean. Texas gal here. It will be spring next week. California's cold and gnarly. Yeah. Okay. Let's get going. Okay. So y'all, this is how it works. This is the maintenance coaching call. I think, do not quote me on this, but I think we are set to have these every other month. So this is a dedicated coaching call for y'all. If you are in maintenance and you would like coaching around your maintenance, how to stay in maintenance, fears about being in maintenance, that's what we're going to talk about today. If you are not in maintenance, but you're listening to this call, welcome. You're going to get like a preview of what maintenance is going to be like for you. And so you can probably even learn some things that you might want to be working on now while you're in your weight loss journey. So when you get to maintenance, you'll have some of those things already taken care of. Just a couple of housekeeping things. I think I already told you about the chat. Make sure you're set to everyone. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about some stuff that's going on in the membership. Number one, y'all know we're in the middle of the February challenge, which is all about doable hunger. From Wednesday to Wednesday, that's where our weeks go. But from Wednesday to Wednesday, this Wednesday and ending next Wednesday, we are doing, I believe it's on the clock. Yes? No. Is that right? Somebody tell me, is it on the clock? Wait, I'm supposed to be the expert. It's either on the clock or halftime. Oh, thank you, Coach Dina. Thank God somebody knows what the hell is going on around here. It's halftime method. That's right. Halftime method is what we're doing now in Doable Hunger. And then Wednesday, this coming up Wednesday. Y'all, I even write the Facebook post for this. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm losing my mind today. I don't normally work on Saturdays. So my brain is like, why are we working today? But it's because I love y'all that I want to work on Saturdays. Anyway, it's the halftime method right now. So that's what's going on. That's where you serve yourself your normal portion, stop at half, check in with your physical body and see where you're at hunger-wise. You might decide this is good. I've had enough. I can stop. Or you might decide to keep going, eat half again, and then see where you're at. It's really just about checking in at the halfway point. It's not about only eating half. You may or may not only eat half. This is not like an effort to get you to starve yourself. This is just a check-in. Okay. But starting next week, we're doing my favorite one, which is close the kitchen, because I thought, oh yeah, Dina's already on it. Next Wednesday's close the kitchen. It's one of my favorites because for me, it was the nighttime eating cleanup and it was just the challenge that I needed because I'm a challenge girl. And I was so excited. I'm like, I can do this for a week. I cannot eat after dinner. And I did a lot of journaling about closing the kitchen while I had the kitchen closed, because I wanted to reinforce or at least create some awareness around my thinking when I closed the kitchen. And y'all can just imagine the kinds of things that came up for me when the kitchen was closed. And I was used to, I had the habit of eating something sweet after dinner every night. So I did a lot of work around that. And I'm proud to say that I am now a person who just rarely eats after dinner. I usually only eat after dinner if it's a special occasion, like a birthday or, you know, I'm at someone's house and they serve dessert or something like that. And I want it. But for the most part, I am not an after dinner eater. So next week, close the kitchen. Next thing I want to tell y'all about, if you have not signed up for virtual camp yet, what are you waiting for, y'all? We have 10 days left in the month of February. I forgot February has less days. We have 10 days left in this month of February. If you sign up by March 1st, you get the current rate, which is $299. After March 1st, it goes up to $349, and it's going to go up one more time after that. So if you want the good rate, sign up by March 1st. We also have payment plan, a 3-month payment plan. If you want to split up the payments, you can do that. Also, if you sign up by March 1st, you will get to vote on what you want to see in the swag box. So if you love some swag, and y'all know we have, Novius has some really good freaking swag. I have a few things that I hope are in the swag box. But yeah, so if you want to sign up by March 1st, you'll get to vote what's in the swag box, vote on what's going in there, and you'll also save yourself $50. So be creative. Get with your accountability groups. Give yourself the gift of a weekend getaway if you can. Go shack up in a hotel room with yourself and enjoy that no more excuses camp. It's going to be amazing. Going to be amazing. So that's my plug about camp. Okay. About maintenance. If you're new to maintenance and you don't even know that we have an amazing Facebook group for you, go to the maintenance homepage. It's on the website, nobswomen.com. nobswomen.com. Click on other resources. A drop down menu will come up. It's the very first one. I think it says Queen's Club, maintenance, maybe Century Club. I don't know what else is in there. But anyway, click on that. And then you can register for maintenance. You just submit your name and your email and then watch your email. And then they will give you access to the whole maintenance homepage. There's a maintenance planner. There is the maintenance course there that you can take. You can also join request access to the maintenance Facebook page. And if you want an accountability group that's specifically people in maintenance, you can also click a button there. So it's all there for you. So if you're new to maintenance, go to nobswomen.com, click on other resources. It's the very first one and you can sign up there. Keisha, is the cost of the camp reimbursable from flexible savings account like the monthly membership? That's a great question. I am not sure about that. If anybody knows the answer to that question, please pop it in the chat for her. Otherwise, Keisha, email support@pmptribe.com. And there, Dina's art. Look, me and Dina, we're like this, me and Dina. And ask them. That's a fantastic question. And that's one I haven't seen before. Okay. That's all I had to say. That's all the announcements I had. So let's get to some coaching. Who wants coaching today? Who is in maintenance and has a couple of issues that have come up that they want to chit chat about? Anything and everything. Let's coach y'all. Let's do it. Let me see some hands coming up. One of the things while y'all are getting your courage up to come on here and talk with me, one of the things I've noticed in the Facebook group, a common theme is always, you know, I'm in maintenance and I've bumped up from my range. Like I'm up a few pounds, right? And if you haven't taken the maintenance course, y'all, Corinne, we have three lessons that address this. Three lessons that address if you are above your maintenance range, what could possibly be going on. Corinne gives three reasons. And it starts, I think, in lesson 8. Let me see my notes. Yes, lessons 8, 9, and 10. Talks about the easing up trap. And basically, if you are above your maintenance range, you have probably started doing some form of self-sabotage. And there's usually three reasons. Y'all know I'm stalling here to get you to raise your hands. So raise your freaking hands. Because I'm just rambling about some shit. Okay. There's three reasons that you could be above your maintenance range. You're probably self-sabotaging. Okay. One of the reasons you might be self-sabotaging is for something we call the imposter syndrome. Okay. And if you have imposter syndrome, here's how you know if you have imposter syndrome. Somebody says something to you like, oh my gosh, you're looking so good. You know, you've lost weight or whatever they say. They give you a compliment and you say, well, yeah, but I still have 30 more to go. Or, well, yeah, but you should see me naked. Well, yeah, but it's really hard to eat this way. Or, yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to keep it off. You basically diminish yourself. You diminish your skills. You diminish your belief in yourself. Almost like you're sort of, somebody gives you a compliment and you're like, well, yeah, but don't get too excited because it's probably not going to last. That's when you know you have imposter syndrome. When you are just kind of continuously downplaying your skills and your ability and your success in maintenance. Okay. So that's the first easing up trap that you might be falling into. And what that means, if you have imposter syndrome, what you need to work on is your belief in your ability to stay in maintenance. And we do that by reminding ourselves how we got to maintenance in the first place. Like, how did you get here? What did you do? Those kinds of things. Okay. So number one, imposter syndrome. The other easing up trap that is, I think, really common too, especially if you've done a lot of past diets that were restrictive. It's the hard talk. The hard talk that you have around your habits. So somebody posted in the Facebook group, in the maintenance Facebook group a few days ago. I wish I would have written down the name, but I didn't. But she wrote down something about like when she got the maintenance, she had stopped doing the weekly and the monthly planning. And then she noticed some habits coming back, like grab assing and stuff like that. And I think she credited somebody in her accountability group for kind of pointing out that, you know, that this habit that she used to have, she wasn't doing anymore. And I thought that was a really good example of hard talk around habits. So one of the things that I see most is that when we hit our maintenance goal, we're like, oh, thank God, I can go back to living my normal life again, right? Like we let go of the habits that got us to maintenance, probably because we had some shitty hard talk around those habits. Like they're hard, they take up too much time, I won't be able to stick with them, whatever. You've got some hard talk around the habits that got you to maintenance. So that's the second way that we can fall prey to the easing up trap once we get to maintenance. And then the third way, and oh my gosh, I have a private client that I'm working with right now who we've coached a lot around this and she's doing so well with it, but it's the fear that you're going to regain. The fear that you're going to regain. And I think this is really like, I think it's kind of closely tied to the imposter syndrome, because if you have imposter syndrome and you don't believe in your skills and your ability and you downplay your success, then likely you're also going to have a fear of regain, because you don't have a very good solid foundation about how you got to maintenance and what you're going to be able to do to stay there. So first of all, fear of regain is totally freaking normal. Like if you are just got to maintenance, or even if you've been in maintenance for, you know, a couple of months and you are still having thoughts that you're not going to be able to maintain it, that you're going to regain, especially if you see the scale pop up just a little bit one day, or if you're one of those, these are my favorite, like I need to get down in the low end of my maintenance range so I feel safe, right? Like if that's you, if you have this fear of regain, I want you to re-listen to lesson 10 in the maintenance course about that. So those are the three ways that we most commonly see people self-sabotaging if you're And that pops you up in your maintenance range. So if you're sitting above your maintenance range, ask yourself, do I identify with any of those things? Do I have imposter syndrome? Do I have hard talk around my habits? And do I have a fear of regain? And if that's you, you may have one, two, or all three. You might be like, yes, that is me, like every day. Well, then let's get to work on that. So start by going back and listening to those lessons. And there's some worksheets that you can do in there that are going to help you out. Oh, thank God, Kara, because listen, Kara is my favorite person right now, y'all. She has her hand raised to get coached because I'm tired of talking. All right, Kara, I'm bringing you up so y'all can stop listening to me. All right, here we go. Promote to panelists. Come on, Miss Kara. She will be joining as a panelist. Here she comes, y'all.
Oh, hold on.
Okay, holding on.
There we go. It's set so that it uses my phone as my camera. There we go. Okay,
I just had the same problem in the beginning. I was like talking, and my microphone was set to, I don't even know. So don't even worry about it. You just got out of the shower. Look at you apologizing for what? You look amazing.
I know. I'm like, I didn't expect to do this. And I'm like, sure, let's do it.
I love it.
So I was, I got to my maintenance like within the 20 pounds so that I could join the maintenance group.
Yeah.
And then I took my foot off of all gas pedals. And I have some not so good thinking about, like, I tell myself, well, you've done it before, so you can do it again. Mm-hmm. But I'm not using it as a good thing. I'm using it against myself.
Okay.
And so
what do you mean by that? What do you mean you're using it against, like, yourself? What does that do line look like?
Yeah, yeah. So like my actions are like I'm planning more snacks than normal, eating, you know, more sweets and treat kind of stuff. Like I'm doing it when I'm hungry, but like just what I'm filling my hunger with is not stuff that I was eating when I was losing.
Okay.
And so But let's see. Sometimes I'm not planning because I'm like, well, I'm following my hunger. I don't really need to write a plan. I don't know. It's just like little sabotages, you know, kind of stuff. And it all comes from that thinking, that thought of like, I could get serious. Oh, here you go. This is a really good one. I could get serious anytime I want to.
Yeah.
But I want to, I'm just not doing I'm not doing all the things that produce the weight loss.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the scale does the 3 pound, depending on what part of the week it is, one, you know, up a pound, down two or three. And so
Okay.
I've gotten really good at maintaining a weight that I don't want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's start with planning. What is your talk around making a plan?
Well, it has evolved over the years. My current talk is that and it's almost like I have two different models, two different stories going at the same time. So like, I think that planning makes my day easier. And so like, I plan to have the groceries in the house. I plan what I'm going to have, that kind of thing. But then I'll say stuff like, but I know how to eat to my hunger scale, so I don't need to plan.
So it makes total sense to me that you have did you say you have two models, right?
Yeah.
And for those of y'all that are new, you must be around a while, Kara. Have you been around a while?
Yeah.
We used to talk about it as a model. Now we talk about it as a think, feel, do. That's what she's talking about. So you like have two versions of thoughts, right? You've got the one part of you that says, oh my gosh, planning makes my day go so much easier and blah, blah, blah. And then you've got this other version that's like, well, you know, I mean, you could just follow your hunger scale, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think when I do that too, Chrissy, like I think that then I am overeating. Like I think I'm not, I don't know how to explain it good. I feel like I'm not necessarily planning for success. I'm just, you know, planning to have food.
Yeah.
And so I'm not planning to lose weight. I'm just planning to have food. Because then like, oh, well, a piece of candy was on my plan, or I know how to have, you know, to eat to my hunger, but I'm eating to that part where it's like, maybe it's not full and it's not stuffed. It's not bingy. It's not any of that, you know, but it's still maybe a couple bites more than enough, or even enough feels like a range to me. Like just enough is like, okay, are we just enough to lose weight? Is it enough for like to keep me satisfied for 3 hours? Like, what is the enough for? And so like, I'm eating just enough to maybe not have my hunger come back in 3 hours, but I'm not eating just enough to lose weight.
Yeah, this is really good. Okay. So which part of your brain, the habit brain or the conscious brain? You have, I'm giving you two choices, multiple choice, A or B. Habit brain is A, conscious brain is B. Which brain is saying, you know, just follow doable hunger. You don't really need to make a plan today.
Oh, it's habit. And actually, if I had a third choice, it's probably defiant brain. I don't need
that's part of the habit brain, right? Because the habit brain is the rebellious child, right?
Yes.
The habit brain is like a perpetual 7-year-old, right? Yes. We don't really need to do that. I mean, come on, really? Like, let's just follow doable hunger, right? So the conscious brain is the one that says, hey, planning makes your day go so much better. Like, let's just make a plan today. That's your conscious brain. That's the grown up. That's the grown up. That's who I'm talking to today. That's Kara, right? So the question is, if you found something that works, if making a plan every day works, why aren't you just doing that every day?
And I think I make plans. I'm I don't think I make the plan for weight loss, you know, because like I'm planning when I grocery shop and when I like I do my plan for the week so that I have the foods for our family in the house kind of thing. And so I know ahead of time what I'm going to have. And because I write out the meal plans weekly to have it. But I don't think I'm necessarily planning for weight loss. If that
okay, let's get into it. Tell me, did you make a plan yesterday?
I didn't end up eating what I planned for breakfast because I was working on some stuff around the house and I.
Okay, tell me about a plan that you made. Tell me about a plan that you made that you would that was different from how when you were losing weight, how you would what you would plan. Was that yesterday? Did you plan for weight loss yesterday? Because you said sometimes I plan for weight loss and sometimes I don't. So was yesterday
a plan? Yesterday's plan had a breakfast to it. I didn't end up eating it. My lunch had a panini sandwich and some chips and salsa. And so I didn't eat the breakfast. And so I did end up finishing the sandwich and having the chips, just a few chips. But I remember thinking like, I probably could have had maybe like 3/4 of the sandwich and been probably okay. But then my thought was like, but I have to go to work here in a little bit for, I agreed to work at this event and it was like from 4 to 8 PM. So like dinner wasn't going to be an option in like that time frame. And so I remember eating a few more bites of the sandwich than I would have had if I had been like really planning for weight loss. But then for dinner, I didn't get dinner until 8 p.m. So by 8 p.m., I was really hungry and I stopped. And I had said, like, if like my plan had lots of options for dinner because I wasn't sure where we were going to be at. So I was like, if they have something, I'll eat it to enough. And then if not, I'll grab something local that I find like where I'm at. So I stopped at a Taco Bell and I got the Mexican pizza and these two tacos. And I ate the whole thing. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I could have just probably had just the like the little Mexican pizza or the two tacos. I probably didn't need both.
Okay. So do you think the problem is planning or overeating?
Probably overeating. And I think I'm like assessing like in the moment. That's why I guess I blame it on planning because like, I think I'm assessing in the moment, like what I, like, where was my hunger at? I'm just not bringing that information every time forward to the next time available, you know?
Because initially when you first came on, you said, I'm planning more snacks, eating more sweets and treats. But that wasn't yesterday. So
that one was not yesterday.
So that's why I want you to get real clear. What is going on? Is it that you are planning? Because you said, but I eat them when I'm hungry. So it's interesting. A lot of times I see this with my clients too. We want to blame the food instead of blame our overeating. I would much rather blame my weight. I don't know where you are, if you're maintaining above where you want to be, or if you're gaining or what's happening, but you're above. Okay. So I'm blaming my being up in my weight on what I'm eating instead of the fact that I'm overeating. What if you could experiment with, you think that's right? Okay. So what if you could experiment and be like, okay, I'm going to keep planning the sweets and treats because you told me that you're eating those when you're hungry, right? What if you clean up the overeating first and then saw if that was enough? And because here's the thing we want that happens, right? We want to blame the food. So we want to just start taking all the food away and we're addressing the wrong problem.
Yeah.
What if you cleaned up your overeating, kept the sweets and treats, ate them when you were hungry within doable hunger, but just cleaned up the overeating and you never had to take away the sweets and treats? Unless you wanted to, because you wanted to, you know, for whatever other reason you might want to. How can you clean up your overeating?
I think that's truly accurate. Cause like I go back and forth between like, you should be planning, like the should, that nice word. I should be planning like foods like that. I like sweets and treats or whatever, like, and you know, just whatever it is. We're just calling it sweets and treats. Like it could be chocolate or ice cream or something. Like if I planned that, and then I'll be like, but I planned it for like a month and didn't really eat much of it. So then I stop planning it. And then I'm like, oh, but now I'm depriving. And I go back and, you know, like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm with you. I got you, Kara. Yeah. If you put a whatever on your plan every day, whatever the sweet and treat, chocolate, whatever it is, and you're eating it within doable hunger, do you think you can lose weight doing that?
Yes.
Okay. If you cleaned up the other overeating.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put all our eggs in that basket. Let's experiment with cleaning up the overeating. So the only overeat you told me about that I think is of concern would be the Taco Bell. The earlier overeat, it sounds like it was intentional. Like you were like, okay, I'm going to eat a little bit extra because I've got to stretch myself, which y'all in maintenance, that's a fine thing to do. If you like your reason
for eating. And I didn't have breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you like your reason, because it sounds like you made that choice deliberately in the moment, it wasn't like, well, shit. And I just ate it all. And, you know, I said, fuck it. It wasn't like that. That's not how you described it. Right. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to eat until 8 o'clock tonight. I probably want to just give myself a little bit extra. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But let's talk about the Taco Bell, right? First of all, did you do a discovery worksheet after you overate the Taco Bell?
So I guess I told myself I didn't actually overeat the Taco Bell. So no, I didn't. I just like had this idea in my head that I possibly could have been okay with having a little bit less.
That sounds like that's how they're going. Yeah.
I know. I didn't have any discomfort in my body. I didn't have anything that would be like, oh, I was uncomfortable, or I had like indigestion or something like that screams.
Then why do you think you possibly could have overeaten?
Because I feel like I probably could have been okay without half of it.
Half. What would you, when Kara was losing weight before and she went to Taco Bell, what would she eat there?
I used to get power bowls. They're the like rice bowl with the meat and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. What was your thinking when you got to Taco Bell and you ordered? What was your thoughts about what you were going to order?
In the past?
No, or last night.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I wanted the pizza and I thought, okay, well, that's not too much. There's nothing on it that upsets my stomach. Mm-hmm. And, immediately my brain wants to blame this on my husband, because when we go out to fast food, he wants me to order by a number and not make any alterations to my food. So mm-hmm. I totally am wanting to blame this on him, but he wasn't even with me. And so I ordered the number that coordinated with the pizza.
Okay. All right. So we order the pizza and it comes with two tacos. That's what you said, right? Two tacos. Yeah. Okay. Order the pizza, comes with two tacos. You sit down to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? How connected to your body were you when you were eating?
When I was eating the pizza, I feel like I was very connected, because I remember thinking like, this is the crispiest. It's not soggy or anything. Like maybe I should always eat at Taco Bell. This is really good. And then I had like a piece and I remember thinking, could I just have half of the pizza? Mm-hmm. And then I got to like the last piece of the pizza and I was like, how hungry am I? And I was like, no, I still think I have hunger. And so I ate it, but then I didn't stop there and do the same thing with the tacos.
Because?
Because they tasted good.
Yeah, Taco Bell tacos.
Well, they were the ones with the Doritos logos, like the Dorito shell. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you would have done a discovery worksheet.
And I got distracted too. There were cute little girls that came in at 8 o'clock at night with these little dancing dresses on. And I was listening in on their conversation with their daddies and just paying attention to that and not my food anymore.
Yeah. So that's really all that happened here, right? So if you're going to work on stopping it enough, what do you think the skill you need to reconnect with is? You had it in the beginning part of the meal.
Yeah, just keep checking in.
Mm-hmm. Would you have been able, if you heard yourself say in the moment, oh my God, these Dorito Locos tacos are so freaking good. Would you have been able to talk back to that thought to get you to stop sooner than you did?
Probably.
What would you say?
I still think that I have this thought in my head, Christy, that it's that like that some food's good and some food's bad. And that if I am losing, like I think that definitely I have the overeating thing. And if it was just an overeating, it would probably be okay. But like mm-hmm. when I'm sitting here thinking this, I'm like, well, but when I did lose weight, it was like I picked things that maybe were easier to say I've had enough at that mm-hmm. I wasn't like so connected mm-hmm. to or something.
Yeah, that's really, really insightful, Kara. That is very, also very common. If we are entrenched in the good foods, bad foods mindset, mm-hmm. a lot of times, and I want you to think about why this is normal. Okay. A lot of times when we go or we eat or we eat something at home or we're eating out and it's on the bad food list. And if you're listening to the replay, I'm air quoting this, bad foods, right? If it's on the bad food list, we typically overeat those foods. Tell me, why is that normal? Why does it make total sense that we overeat the foods that we label as we shouldn't be eating these?
Because when you think that you shouldn't be eating it, you're probably not eating it very often. And then when you do get to have it, you think, well, I'm not going to get it again for a while because I shouldn't have been having it in the first place. So I'm not going to have it again for a while. So I should just get as much of it as I can now before I have to be good again.
Yeah. And have you experienced that? Where did you learn? Do you have that? Because you rattled it off really easily. Like maybe you've experienced that.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I read about somebody else doing it. Yeah. How does it make sense that you have that you have those thoughts? Where did that come from for you specifically?
I grew up with a mom that did weight loss and then would tell us what good and bad food foods were. Like I can tell you what her grocery shopping cart had in it. One bag of Mike Sells potato chips, one box of sugar cereals, and one case of RC Colas. And that's all that there was for sugar in the house, you know? And like when it was gone, it was gone. So it was like a mad dash to get it before it was mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, something happened, like some celebration or any kind of thing, it was go out and celebrate with food or treats or something like that. Yeah.
So this is really, really good to know. Because I know we talked about just a minute ago, you really focusing in on stopping it enough. But I think an even like next level thing for you to do is when you make your plan, and you have eating out or pizza, whatever your naughty foods are, air quotes again, replay people, naughty foods, whatever, whenever you plan them, I want you to, in your planner, put a little star by them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I want that star to trigger a practicing mindset of the day, sort of like a, hey, watch out. This is one that you've labeled bad. So I'm going to eat this with more awareness than I eat any other food. I'm going to talk about this food while I'm eating it. Like normally I would think this is a bad food and I shouldn't eat, but this is just food. This is just mm-hmm. a choice I made today. I have a very good mix on my plan today of good, better, best foods. This is a good one. I don't have to overeat this. I'm going to get this again. I'm learning how to eat Taco Bell in a way that aligns with who I want to be. And tonight is my night to practice.
I think it has, so I have autoimmune condition and stuff like that too. I had IBS for years and the IBS gets under control, but like some of the eating isn't just good, bad foods, like that I've labeled them morally good or bad. Mm-hmm. Some of it is like what feels good in my body, but mm-hmm. like it's intermixed with the thinking of good, bad, moral foods, you know, like, sure.
Yeah,
I try to pull apart, like, how did my body respond last time I ate that? And that's why nothing's wrong with this food. I just respond this way so that I'm really trying to keep them separate. But
and that thinking needs to happen when you make your plan. Like that thinking can happen when you make your plan. Like you write the foods down on your plan and I'm guessing you want to plan foods that you know feel good in your body, mm-hmm. right? And so Taco Bell must have made the cut that you can eat that and that feels good in your body. It feels fine in your body. Maybe good is not the right word, but it feels fine, right?
Right.
Right. So imagine if all day you were like, okay, I'm eating out tonight. Because maybe you didn't even know that it was going to be Taco Bell. But you said, you know what? I'm eating out tonight and I might choose fast food. And that's one of my starred foods that my brain likes to think we shouldn't be having this. This is not good, blah, blah, blah. And I know if I think that going into that meal, I'm likely to kind of disconnect from my body. I'm likely to eat it very quickly. That's something I used to do, y'all. Because I used to work on this too, right? You have this idea of good food, bad foods. And so you find yourself eating very fast. Right? Because it's like, let me just hurry up and get it in before I have to feel bad about this. Right? That's some old school stuff I used to do too. Right? So try that. Try that. The next time you're planning these foods that you, whether it be because your body, although I'm not sure why you'd be planning foods that didn't feel good in your body, you know, but if you have something on your plan that you know is a food that you typically think you shouldn't be having, put a little star by it. And then all day, set yourself up for success to stop it enough with those specific foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not what you're eating, it's that you're overeating it.
Yeah.
But we want to blame the foods. And that makes sense, especially when you just told me a little bit about your history with your mom. We want to blame the food. Right?
Well, there's that history and the like eating to make myself healthier kind of thing. And mm-hmm. like there's almost, I think, deprivation in that. So like not getting to have some of those foods, like remembering that it's a choice that I'm choosing foods to feel good, not just choosing foods because there's nothing wrong with them. And so I think that one.
Yes. And that happens in the morning when you make your plan. When you write out your plan, like what is something that doesn't sit good with you?
Like on that Mexican pizza, they put just a sprinkle of cheese, but like on a regular pizza, that's like extra cheese or like,
okay, so
like
cheese.
I can do like a quarter of a cup of ice cream, but not like a
scoops of sort of dairy. Sounds like cheese and okay. So dairy. So when you make your plan, take a look at it and be like, okay, am I setting myself up to be in gastric distress with this plan today?
Yeah.
And then you say, yes, no. Okay. Wait, I have too much cheese planned today. This happened to me today, actually, sort of. I was making my plan this morning and we're going to Sam's Club today, which they have delicious pizza. I don't know if you've ever had Sam's Club's pizza, but they also have really good soft serve. And I thought, okay, I could have a slice of pizza and then I could split like a soft serve with my husband. And then I was thinking this morning when I was putting my breakfast plan, I was like, oh, I'm going to be out and about. I could get one of my favorite donuts too. And so I started looking and then I had a regular, you know, like we're having grilled chicken, whatever for dinner tonight. And I was looking at my day and I was like, ooh, donuts, pizza, and soft serve. That might not be a great thing for my stomach today. And so I journaled, I left it on my plan. I put donuts or scrambled eggs, right? And I left it on the plan. And then I started journaling this morning and I was like, okay, what do you want to do here with this? Like, which one do you want to? And I was like, you know what? I really don't want to eat that much of those kinds of foods in close proximity in the same day. And by the end of my journal, I was like, you're going to choose the eggs today because you want the pizza and the ice cream more. And so I just balanced my day and made a choice, but it came from a loving place. It wasn't like, bitch, you can't have donuts and pizza and ice cream in the same day. Like Fatty McFatty, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. It was like, hey, what do I want to do? I really want to make a decision that's best for me. Mm-hmm. But I had to, you know, I had to think my way through that. Like, yeah. I didn't look at my plan and was like, no, you can't have this with a big red marker. I was like, what do you want to do here? What feels good to you? And that happens when you're making your plan. So after this is for everybody, when you make your plan, y'all, look at it in totality, like a bird's eye view, and say, what do I think about this today? Does this meet who I want to be with my food as far as what I'm planning? Does it have a good balance? Is it too restrictive? Am I excited about some things on my plan? You know, how do I want to think about what I have planned today? And then if you do have Sam's Club pizza and ice cream on your plan, you tell yourself all day, hey, this is like a food that you're going to want to pay really close attention to your body when you're eating it, because your old Weight Watcher fucking cheat day mentality is likely to kick in, especially because it's Saturday and that used to be my cheat day. Well, it started as a cheat meal, y'all know, right? And then it morphed into a whole cheat day, right? So I just, I'm like ready. I'm on the lookout for it. So I try to stay connected to my body when I'm eating every meal, but especially those foods that I have deemed I shouldn't be eating in the past for years and years and years.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'd been telling myself like kind of a mixed message, kind of a story. Like I can't have sugar because it hurts my joints and I shouldn't have sugar because I can't lose weight with it, which I can have some sugar and it doesn't hurt my joints, and I can have some sugar and still lose weight. So
That's a way better way to think about it. I can have some sugar and it doesn't hurt my joints. I am learning to find the balance of how much sugar I can include in my diet and lose weight, because everybody's different, right? Some people eat sugar every freaking meal and get to their goal weight. Everybody's bodies are different. So you stay in that mindset of curiosity and I'm figuring this out for me, and positive thinking about what you're eating, and look at your day and make some balance, physical balance, right? And foods that you enjoy. And then when you get to those foods that you have typically deemed like not, I shouldn't be eating these, I want you to double down on your efforts to pay attention to your body during those foods.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. As usual, Kara, if you're in the Facebook group, post in the Facebook group and tag me and let me know how it goes the next few days.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, hon. See ya. So good, y'all. Okay, Marty. Your hand is raised. Thank y'all for raising your hand. I didn't want to have to chat anymore. All right, here we go. She's coming up. Marty, Marty. Y'all know I'm a singer. I love to sing. Sing, you sing. Here she comes. So Celia says, so I drink some water and take a few deep breaths before beginning my meal. Helps me slow down and truly savor each bite and enjoy my food more instead of enjoying more food. I love that. Love that, Cecilia. That's so good. That's very similar to what's in the Trusting Your Body course about getting sort of to home base before you eat food, just kind of centering yourself. And, you know, so many of us come into to a meal on two wheels, right? And we just sit down and before we know it, the meal's over and we're like, what the hell just happened? I love that. Hey, Marty.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for raising your hand today. What are we talking about?
Okay. So I have all three of the things that you talked about, the maintenance fears, as far as the easing up trap, the imposter syndrome. But I think that my biggest thing is being judged by others.
Okay.
And so Let's see if I can explain this. So I live with my sister and brother-in-law, and my sister is always telling me, you're too thin. You're too thin. Mm. And I go home to visit my, you know, daughter and son-in-law, and they're like, how can you walk around on those toothpick legs? We don't understand. And so, like, I reached my goal and was very happy with it. But I feel like now I've put on a few pounds, and I feel like I eat more just because I don't want people saying this stuff. Mm. Does that make sense?
Totally. Totally. Why don't you want them saying this stuff?
I think just because it makes me feel bad. Like, I'm happy with, you know, where I'm at, but nobody else seems to be happy with where I'm at.
So when they say, wait, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I should have written the sentence down. When they say, how can you walk around on those two sticks? Is that one of the things they say?
On those toothpicks.
Okay. How can you walk around on those toothpicks? And then you think, well, gosh, I'm actually really happy with my weight. I love how I look. This is perfect for me. That's what you say to yourself in that moment?
No, that's not what I say to myself in that moment.
What do you say in the moment, Marty? What do you say?
I should probably put some more weight back on because, you know, everybody's judging me.
I should probably put some more weight back on because everyone's judging me. How does that feel when you say that to yourself?
It's not a good feeling. I don't like it. Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel what? Give me one word. If you had to sum it up in one word, you feel?
Shame.
Shame. Okay. Yeah. And then what happens when in our eating and how we show up when we're feeling shame about our food choices or our weight?
So what happens to me is that I end up like overeating or eating things off plan because I feel like I should put my weight back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the result is you get from doing that? When you're feeling shame and you end up overeating to put weight back on, and then you end up ultimately gaining weight, what is the result of that?
I mean, it makes me feel horrible about myself.
Yeah. And also you're continuing to value other people's opinion of your life over your own. You are perpetuating that, right? When we live our lives based on how other people think we should live them, and then that's how we show up in our actions, then we just stay in that cycle of valuing other people's judgments over our own.
So imagine,
here's how you get over it. You do a lot of work outside of those judgment moments, because in the moment, your habit brain is going to just default to defense and sort of, oh, I look bad. I need to gain some weight. They're judging me. Right.
Yeah.
So outside of that moment, you're going to say, when people say this, this is what I'm going to think instead. This is what I'm going to remind myself of. But you're going to do it outside those moments. You're going to journal about this in the morning. When they say, oh, how can you walk around on those toothpicks? I'm going to say to myself or to them, I don't even care if you say it out loud. I'm going to say, this is the perfect weight for me. I love where I am. I love the way I eat. They're entitled to their opinion. Can you understand? One of the other things that could be helpful too is, can you get in their thought bubble for just a minute? Do you have any understanding of why they might be saying that? Like, why are they saying that, do you think? If you had to guess.
So part of it could be that they're overweight.
Yeah.
And they're struggling with their weight.
Yeah. Sure. I love that. Right. Well, I don't love that. That's the wrong thing to say, Marty. You know what I'm saying? I love that you came up with a reason. It's like, hey, you know what? This could be their own shit. This could have nothing to do with me. And yet I'm letting it make my decisions for me. This could have nothing to do with me. This could be their shit. Of course. Yeah. If they're overweight and they're thinking, God, Marty's over there dropping weight and she's all thin and doing what she wants. But I'm going to tell her that she's too thin, because then I can feel better if she gains some weight. I don't have to feel bad about what I'm doing. Who knows? I don't know if they're thinking that or not. Right. But it could be. Yeah. It could have nothing to do with you. Another way to think is, you know, who knows where they get their ideas of what weight you should be? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they had somebody in their past that was super thin and had problems. I don't know. Maybe they're doing it out of care. Maybe they truly think you're too thin. I don't know. But if you're confident and you know, hey, I'm healthy, right? I love the way I eat. I love the way I look. This is their stuff. This has nothing to do with me. There's a great resource, Coach Dina. I'm going to put you on the spot here just for a minute, but it's inside the website. So if Coach Dina can't find it before the call's up, you can type in the website. If y'all don't know, you can go to the website and you can go to the search and you can type this in, other people's opinions. And there is a one sheet little flow chart. It's Coach Judith's favorite resource. She loves it. And it's all about other people's opinions. And it's like this cool little, like, sort of what to do when someone gives you an opinion. If it's this, then you go this way. If you go, you know, like a flow chart, and it's the coolest thing. And it could be really helpful for you here. But really, here's how you get over it. You get really confident in yourself by writing all the things you love about the way you eat, about the way you look, and all of that. So when someone says to you, oh, you're walking around, you're just like, well, that's an interesting opinion. I love it. Look at my sexy toothpicks. Right?
Yeah.
This is about, to me, in my opinion, when we are struggling with other people's judgment of us, it is a sign that we need to work on our own self-love. Because if I'm super confident in the way that I look and the way that I eat and the way that I live my life, if I am so confident in that and I have so much love for myself, I don't give a shit what other people say. Does that make sense?
It does.
Have you taken the self-love course?
I think I have, but I obviously need to go back and do it again.
Yeah, maybe if you've got some time, run through that course again. Yeah. You can also, if you don't have time to do a whole course, just pull up the, you know, on the planner page, the 30-day journal prompts, the 30-day guided journal. It's on the planner page. If you click on the No BS planner and scroll down to the bottom, you can click on it. And then you can click the self-love prompts. You could just do the journal prompts.
Okay.
And it will help you. Those journal prompts are so good for just kind of really reinforcing what you love about yourself and being very deliberate in your decisions and how you feel about yourself. It really guides you to think about yourself in a way that you can be very confident in.
Okay.
Okay. I hope that was helpful.
Very.
You're so welcome. It was good to meet you, Marty.
You too.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, Eileen, we got a few more minutes. I was trying to read the chat, but it was going too fast. I hope y'all found that helpful. Other people's opinions. All right. Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear at this moment. I'm showing my age, aren't I? 80s. Hi, Eileen.
Hey, this is really bizarre because Marty is my maintenance accountability partner.
Get out. That's so funny. Did y'all plan to come on the call together?
I had mentioned to her that, you know, because I don't get to a lot of the live calls. So I had Marco Polo'd her last night saying, oh, and there's a maintenance call tomorrow and I'll Marco Polo you after the maintenance call. So that's funny that we both got chosen.
That's hey, Marty. So awesome. Yeah. Okay. What are we talking about today, Eileen?
So I entered my maintenance weight range right around November 1st. And okay. I actually joined the maintenance group after the holidays, January 1st.
Okay.
And I've been staying in the same like 5 pound weight range, but I keep thinking that I should go to the lower end of my maintenance range, which I've got a 10 pound weight range. Okay. This is the lowest I have been in my adult life since my wedding.
Okay.
Since I had kids. And I'm going back and forth between, yes, I'm in maintenance. I'm doing everything, you know, that I should be. I'm eating to maintain, you know, mm-hmm. and then flipping back to maybe I should be eating to weight loss. And especially with the February challenges, I found myself more thinking I need to leave more than two bites behind. You know, that's what I'm trying to struggle with. Like, am I actually in maintenance, or do I think I should be losing weight more?
Do you like the way you eat right now?
I do.
So you're in maintenance.
Yeah. You know,
just because the membership's doing a challenge doesn't mean you have to be losing weight too.
It's more that it kind of challenged my thinking of, am I actually in maintenance, or do I want to lose more weight? I'm happy where I am. I love how I look now. I love the clothes I wear. Like, I love the life I can live.
Are you willing to eat less to lose 5 more pounds?
I tell myself yes, but I don't do it. So I don't think I am.
Okay. Sounds to me like you're very happy with where you are. You just are using, it sounds to me, that you have a should mindset. So the membership is doing this challenge to eat less in February, right? To get more connected with our enough and doable hunger, right? And so mm-hmm. you have a thought, I should be doing that too.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Would you have had that thought if we weren't doing the February challenge?
Probably not.
Okay. Corinne, don't kill me. I'm not blaming the February challenge. She's going to be like, Christy, why don't you shit all over my February challenge? I'm not shitting all over it. Yeah. No, this is just a great opportunity. It's so funny because it's not unlike what Marty, only nobody else is telling you should do the February challenge. You're telling yourself. Yeah. So you're judging yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And really, you're super happy with where you are.
Is there
any place in your eating that you feel like, I kind of want to clean this up a little bit? I like it, but I think I could clean it. I want to clean it up. Not I should, or I have to, or I need to.
I think I found the answers for the things like that I was overeating. So like if it's sweet, I only buy a single serving. And the other thing, you know, the healthy food, I overeat mm-hmm. bananas if I buy a whole bunch of them. So I only buy 2 bananas at a time. I don't care if I go to the grocery store 3 days a week to get bananas, but it's just easier to get them 2 at a time.
Yeah.
You know, so those were the two Amazing. Bigger things. Yeah.
Amazing.
And the other thing that I use is, can I gest? So I use, can I gest a lot for things, and it works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. Lose 5 more pounds to get to the lower end of your maintenance range or don't. I don't really care. But you need to have a good why. Do you want to? What's going to happen now? Do you just want to be curious and see what it would be like? And then decide if when you get there, you want to stay or don't want to stay? It doesn't matter. But if you're happy where you are and you love the way you eat and you love
I don't have a why.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to get down there if you don't have a why. It's really hard to do anything when our why is a should.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you just should be, and you don't have you can't answer the question why, it's going to be really hard to do what you need to do to get down there.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Cause I haven't been able to do it, I think, because I can't think of a good reason to, you know, to cut more food or, you know, whatever, because all the things that I do, I drink enough water, I sleep fine, you know, I plan well mm-hmm. and and I enjoy mm-hmm. everything that I'm doing. I enjoy my food.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Hello. Yes.
All right, Eileen. Well, this was the easiest coaching call I ever did. Don't do shit. There's my advice to you, Eileen.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Maybe more just be confident in where you are. Remind yourself how much you like the way you eat now. Remind yourself that, you know, you've worked really hard to get to these habits and you've come up with great solutions. And if anything new pops up that you decide you want to clean up, you will. And if it equals more weight loss, maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, my friend. It was good to meet you. You're welcome.
Thank you. You too. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I see Dina answered a couple of questions in the Q&A. Thank y'all so much for being here with me on Saturday. Again, I am Coach Christy. I think our next maintenance call will be, what is this month, February? I think it will be in April. So, but don't hold me to that. Stay abreast of the training calendar and watch out. And I will always post in Facebook too when we have another call coming up. So thanks everybody. Enjoy your day.